The language worker is the result of my deep gratitude to the world for continuing to allow me to work on language projects, teaching, mentoring, and reflecting on the phenomenon of language and what it means for humanity. The most visible part of the project, the podcast, is another window into the world of language services and its key players. Translators, project managers, talent managers, sales and business growth specialists, technology experts, content creators, founders of small and medium-sized language service companies, language teachers, and all the professionals who are willing to share their experience, knowledge, and strategies for navigating the waters of this ever-changing industry. For me, it's also an opportunity to learn and share knowledge acquired over more than 20 years of doing what I love the most, working with language.
All right. Hi, everybody. Here we are again. This is one of those episodes I've been wanting to do for a long, long time. And it was not so easy to get these four girls together. So I had the assistance of our grandmother, as we call it in Women in Localization, Marta Bauer, who was like, oh, let me see if I can talk to the people on Team Translator and if they can, you know, find, you know, translators who have been in the business for less than 2 years, let's say, right? So that was the idea. Could be 2.5 or 3, but something like this. So the idea was to get the perspective of people who have started in this career recently because of all the changes that have occurred in the last couple of years specifically. And so I really wanted to know and to get your input about how you feel, how it has been, and all that stuff. So basically, that's why you're here, right? So I tried to get ladies from different countries. I guess we have accomplished that. Then we'll do more episodes on this subject because I think it's fascinating with from other parts of the world. But in the end, I guess we have all European ladies. So it's okay. I didn't go too far. So thank you so much for being here. It's amazing to finally have the chance to talk to you. So we have been exchanging messages, trying to get the schedule going. And finally, it all happened. We were not supposed to have Irene with us, who was going to do something else. And all of a sudden this morning, it was a big surprise when she also showed up. So in the end, it all works. So thank you so much for being here, ladies. It's such a pleasure to meet you. So the only person I've ever met before is Marta Monteiro, who is in Women in Localization Portuguese chapter with me. And so she's the little Marta we have. We have Big Marta, and then we have the chapter manager, and then we have our little Marta. And so Marta also accepted to be here. So she's really the only person I know anything about. So in that case, I will leave her to the end. And I will just do my usual. I will just follow the script. Actually, it's not the end because you're before Sophia. Thank you, Sophia, for getting the name there, because Sophia is actually using her cell phone. And I was like, oh my God, it says Samsung. So how am I going to remember the name? And so thank you so much for that. So she changed the name so that I could see it, because really it's the first time I'm meeting them. So I will start with Julia just for this reason, because on my screen, Julia, probably because she logged in first, shows up first. So this is what we're going to do. Thank you so much, Julia, for being here. Let's just know how languages, let's go back when you were a child, maybe, not necessarily, but how did languages come into your life?
Hi, thanks for being here, for letting me be here, first of all. It's really a pleasure. I've been looking forward to this. When did languages come into my life? Probably in school, actually. My parents didn't really work with languages. My mother is quite gifted, to be honest, but she didn't really work in any language area. So I really just discovered my passion for languages in school. I always loved English, especially. I also dabbled a bit in like French and Spanish because I had to, but I also enjoyed it a lot. But I kind of let it slip after school when I went to university and just stuck to English. So that's why I'm only working with English now. But yeah, never say never, right?
So the silly thing is that I didn't ask where you're from, what your target language is, right? I should have started with
that. I let you know anyway.
Ah, oh, that's silly. But anyway, so yeah, so you went there, and then when you went to university, what happened? Did you feel super comfortable? You were like, oh, this is exactly what I want to do, or not really?
Yeah.
Were you insecure about it?
I didn't study languages. I thought about it because English and German were always the things in school I enjoyed the most, and I was really good at it. But somehow people got into my head and said, yeah, you can't do anything with languages. It's a dead profession. You will not earn money. So I had the genius idea to study media management because the media industry is so well paid. Also, I thought it's not. Yeah, so I studied media management and journalism, and started working in that area after university. So I didn't really have an education in languages beyond school at first. I did do that later when I realized that working in the job I learned at university isn't what I wanted to do. So I did a 4-year translation degree. It's not a university degree, but it's called a state certificate. And I did it alongside my 32-hour job as an employee. So, and I did not feel comfortable in English, which is my source language, at all. I knew I used to be good at English in school. I could like express what I wanted to express when I was on vacation. But I didn't feel like I had the skills to actually be a translator. But I wanted to do it. I really wanted to do it, and so I thought I'd just give it a try. And I also researched a lot, and I came across many people who said, "Well, you have to have lived abroad, for example, or you can't be a translator. You have to have these near native language skills, and you can only acquire those if you have really lived abroad." And I didn't have that, so. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really have high hopes going into this translation course that I did. I just wanted to see where it would take me, and obviously it took me here, so
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, that is, it's strange that you heard from people that you have to be this strict about your training because usually there are a lot of people who will say that you need next to nothing to actually get started. Okay, so let's hear a little bit from our Irene. So Irene is Spanish, right? I guess you're from Catalonia, right? Am I right? Because I think I read on your LinkedIn profile that you translate into Catalan. So let's hear a little bit. So you're Irene, and how did languages came into your life? How did languages come into your life? That this is the proper sentence.
So I would say my experience is very much alike Julius, because I remember my parents wanting me to take English lessons when I before starting high school, and I was like, "Oh no, I don't like English." But then they forced me to. So this is when I began liking it a lot, precisely. And I was very much into TV shows and movies. And I think the change came watching, I don't know if you know a TV show that's called The OC. That's from like the Orange
From
Country. Well,
Orange County, yeah.
So I fell in love with that TV show, and I started watching it the original version and everything, and then I fell in love with English. I was also pretty good at it. And when then like her, I studied other things. Well,
Other things.
I
So when you
studied
first went to university, you didn't study languages.
I didn't go to university first. I went, but
Didn't like it.
I just left it, didn't like it, and then I started cooking and bakery. And well, when I finished that, I also took a year on theater, and well, life changed, and I ended up with a translation degree, which is actually a university degree here in Spain, 4 years university degree. And actually finished the degree 2 years ago. So
That's
I
why you're
finished
the
as
perfect candidate for this episode, right? This was the 2-year
yeah.
mark.
I also studied as an adult, being an adult and working. I studied online because couldn't manage to actually go to university. So yeah, my experience is a bit much like her, also being drowned into other careers and finally ended up doing well. English.
Finally, for now. That's what I will say. Okay, great. So Marta, here she is. So Marta is Portuguese. I know that much, right? So what was, but I don't know what the story is, right? How all of this thing came to be. But I do know that she's doing her master's in translation right now, so or finishing it. So she obviously has been studying translation, at least that I know. So Marta, what's the story? What happened?
I guess, I mean, when I was a child, I wanted to be two things, or it was an interior designer or a translator.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Never a doctor, never a nurse, never something like that. So yeah, I just chose it randomly, and
Randomly.
then I went to university. I took a degree in foreign languages and cultures. I studied Spanish and English. Basically, I continued what I had in secondary school. And then I decided to take my master's, and I'm now finishing it also with English and Spanish. And yeah, I don't have any experience yet, so this is all a bit scary for me. Yeah, a lot. And I guess that's it. I don't have much to say. I always lo love talking and communicating, and I think I could do something with that. And since I took English since elementary school, I guess it had to be.
Well, I guess you were not forced necessarily, but
No.
it has to be, right? I don't know. I guess for me, English is just a necessary part of my life. Probably one of the most relevant ones for sure. So our Sofia, it was a bit hard technically to get here, but I was saying that it has happened to me many times that where I'm already recording the podcast, something happens, I have to grab my cell phone and then I have to continue from there. Sometimes I have my photo from one device on the screen and then another one where I'm actually moving. So it's all good. So because yes, so nobody pays for it. We can do whatever we want. So like I say, right? So Sophia, let's hear it from you. So what happened? Did languages come into your life at an early age, or was it only when you got to school that you had the experience? So what happened there?
Yeah, I think also early age, already in middle school, because I like music, like listening to music like all time. And I hate when you don't know the words, especially if it's a song in English or whatever. So I really wanted to know the lyrics to sing it in a proper way. So I started watching YouTube videos with lyrics of every songs. So I was the one at school that knows every song. So yeah, the passion started in that way. I decided to study languages also in the high school because in Italy you can choose among different schools where you focus on different subjects. And I s decided to do the language school where I studied German, English, and French. And yeah, then I realized that languages were my life, and that I really wanted to learn as many languages as possible. I ended with five, by the way. And so I decided to study languages also at the university. But there I decided to study Arabic also. I wanted to do something like challenging for me, something completely new and different. We were actually eight people in the Arabic class, so it was quite a like a little class. And yeah, during the bachelor degree, I realized that translation was my real passion. I just loved spending hours translating texts and just studying translation strategies. So I then decided to do the master's degree in translation. But actually, after the degree, I worked for a year for a cosmetic company. So, completely different topic. Well, not different topic, I was in charge for the German market. So I was translating the website, the campaign, social media content, and everything. But I was also the in charge of the customer care of this company. But there I realized that I really wanted to be a translator. So
So
after a year
basically, you
and
were already in the business of languages, really. So that was your first job in the end, because it
yeah,
was
it
a
was my
lot to do with that.
yeah, it was my first job, and it was actually my first specialization, because then I also realized that I like cosmetic a lot. And I still love skincare, so it was
Okay,
like,
we'll get to
yeah.
that in a minute. That's great. I love it. So it's a bit like me, right? That's like I always talk about it. Madonna is always here because she's really the responsible for everything else that happened in my life. Because when I was 10, I made a vow that I was going to be a Madonna fan forever. But the most urgent thing that I needed to do was to actually understand the lyrics. Obviously, there you go, right? So that's how it started for me. And not that I want to learn as many languages as possible. I'm not like that at all. Quite the opposite. It's fine the way it is. But I just want to make sure that this thing is present in my life every single day until I die, right? So that's, I'm obsessed. With English, it started like that, and it just transpired into the rest of my life. And now I use English as much as I can for everything that I can. And that's what I do basically every single day. Everything that I do tends to be in English. Sometimes I have to practice in order to do things in Portuguese because I'm so used to doing anything related to work in English. So there you go. So yeah, I do relate to that you go to school and you always have a song as a reference for grammar, for all of that, because of course I have the whole career of Madonna within my head in terms of lyrics, right? So that helps a lot when you need grammar examples, like I always say. So yes, so Julia, what happened when you finally had to go to work, per se?
You mean translation work, or
Yes.
after you,
So,
yeah,
well, I
makes
mean, any work. So you worked in the media industry first, right? So was it like
I worked in
language
the,
related?
no, not really. I worked in TV production at first and in a marketing company. And yeah, I think I had six jobs in 6 years. And at some point I thought, okay, it can't just be the jobs, that they're all shitty. There has to be something more. And I actually did like a professional coaching, where you talk about what you can do, or what like what your skill set is and what matches your
Like your
personality.
ikigai, right? The whole you, what you're good
Yeah,
at, what the
something like
world needs.
that. Right. Yeah, something like that. And that's when I discovered translation. I always thought translators just translate books, like probably many people think.
For sure.
And I love books. I'm a big book nerd, but I didn't really see myself doing that. But when I discovered, okay, I can actually attach that to my like marketing and media stuff I have been doing and I have studied, I thought, okay, there might be something there. And then after this 4 year training course, I was actually on parental leave when I finished that. So I had to go to four different exams in the south of Germany. I always had to drive 5, 6, 7, 8 hours on the train to get there and spend a week there to do these exams. So that was very exciting last year. And then last year in September 2023, end of September, I did the final exam. And then my parental leave ended in the end of September and I started October 1st, 2023. So, and
She
how did
has
it
a
start
date. I like that. She's like me.
up? That's a great date, right? I think so too. It's also the start of my favorite season, autumn, winter, whatever. Yeah, but that's off topic. So how did I start out?
Nothing is off topic. Everything prepares you. Like I say, every job, everything that you do prepares you to the next job. So nothing
That's
is
right.
off topic when you work with languages. That's what I
Yeah,
think.
that's right. That's right. Yeah, so I already had one client. It's a fitness app who I met or who I got introduced to by a colleague who worked there. I met her on Team Translator. She was one of the first people I ever talked to on Team Translator when I was finally okay with leaving my little hole, and I was so afraid of other translators in the beginning. But yeah, going on LinkedIn and meeting people on Team Translator and in real life, I realized those are actually really lovely people. And she was actually one of the first I ever talked to. And she said, "Well, listen,
And who
I'm
is this
going into
person?
employment. Excuse me?
Who is this person?
Her name is Christine Altmann.
Oh, okay. I like
Yeah.
naming people if they're relevant in our
Yeah.
lives.
Right, definitely. And she's employed now. So she said, well, look, I'm going into employment, so they need someone to replace me. I still had to do a test,
Course.
but yeah, obviously passed that. And
Usual.
so I already had my first client, and I had already started working for them in August. I had already done some volunteering for TED translators and for Translators Without Borders and some smaller project actually since 2020. So I've had some experience. I pieced together my CV with every little bit I could put
Of
in there.
course. That's
Yeah,
of
of
course.
course. And then I just
When you
reach out
start
to people.
dropping things, right? In the
Yeah,
beginning.
definitely, definitely. My CV looks very different now. I don't add every little project anymore. I just add like areas now
Course.
or things that sound impressive. And are impressive, of course. Yeah, so I started out with this one client, and then yeah, I just reached out to people. I went on LinkedIn. I looked for with the search bar. I looked for job postings, not the official job ads, but just people posting. Hey, I need a translator. I did that for 3 or 4 months, every day, 2 or 3 times. It was quite a lot of work, but yeah. It worked out. I also found some clients via Team Translator, other colleagues posting on LinkedIn, all that stuff. And it took, I think, 6 months. And then I was able to live off the job pretty comfortably. I'm actually earning as much as I did before.
Okay, sounds
Yeah.
great.
Yeah.
So, Irene, what's the story with your first job after the cooking and the baking and all that stuff? But why did you go into cooking and baking in the first place? Let's start with that. So, was it a
Because I
degree? Was it because you decided to just do it as a freelancer? Were you working at a specific place?
no, I was an 18 years old, a bit lost in life, and I liked cooking, so
Okay.
I did that. No, then I while studying, I discovered it was a well, I discovered everybody knows that, but when you are young, you don't, that it's an a very bad, let's say, profession to get into, low paid, lots of hours to work, and the
You mean
environment, the
cooking?
environment. Yeah. So I
Right.
decided I was not going to work on that. So it's what here in Catalonia, at least, it's what it's called grado medio, grau mig. It's like something you can do after finishing high school. It's like, I don't know, like professional.
Yeah.
So it's not a
It's not
degree.
higher
It's
education, it's medium
exactly.
education. So it's,
Yeah, exactly. It was 2 years studies. So, well, that's it. So when I finished my translation degree, I had no experience. So the first 3, 4 months, I did like very little jobs for I don't know. I was also an English teacher, so a colleague of the academy, for my sister-in-law, so like things like this, while looking for jobs. I also used LinkedIn a lot, and there is where I got my first real client, which is I still work for them now. I don't have a lot of clients because this is a very good client. So I do a lot of work for them, and I'm really grateful because they have taught me lots of things. And I've learned a lot actually with them. So then the other clients I have are little jobs sometimes. So I got them on LinkedIn, which it was surprising to me. And then I started doing little jobs for them, which then escalated to weekly work and
Wow.
well, yeah. Super happy. I think
That's
I took
great.
profit of what you said about everything in the language profession matters. I took profit of my hobbies,
Yes.
which are mountain sports, and this is why I got
Ah.
that
I see where
there.
you're going.
Which with very little experience, but a good hobby background, I think it's also possible to get yourself into the
Yes,
industry.
for sure. We're going to get to that in a minute. So a little bit deeper into this sports adventure stuff. So Marta, is it my imagination or did you do your internship already? But that's your experience, right? In the translation realm. So what happened there? How did you end up doing your internship? So you're doing your master's or were you doing your degree? So when was it and why did it happen?
I had two internships actually, one in the bachelor's degree, but looking back, I don't take it really as a good internship. Comparing to the one I have now with Mafalda, who is with us in Women Localization. So I work part, not now, but I was working part-time at the time. So Mafalda's internship was the only one that could take a part-time student. So yeah, I had the opportunity to take a test with them and I got to stay there, thankfully. And it was really scary. I'll admit it was really scary because I don't think there's much of a real perspective when you're taking a degree, when you're taking a master's, even a master's, which is weird for me. You don't have really the perspective of how things really work. And I was really scared for that because I knew it would be different, but it is a whole new world. I can say that for sure. I guess I learned a lot of things. I got to know and to understand that I could be more than a translator. I can be a language worker, basically.
Like I always say.
I don't know, what can I say more?
So
Now
why
I'm
was the first internship not really an internship now that you can compare it to the real one that you've already done? What was missing from it?
First of all, technology. So we used to work with a word and then a table and then two columns from it was translating from zero with no TMs, nothing, no, nothing. There was no feedback. I
But
mean,
was this a company or something else?
it was a governmental
Ah,
organization.
well.
So there wasn't really a translator position. So they needed some files, some documents to be translated, and they used students to do that. So I guess they didn't really know how to help us as well.
So
But
you learned something about translation, but not about the translation industry, right? Because I guess those are two different things. One thing is to translate that can be done in multiple settings, but to be in the translation industry, it's a whole other story. And then it's with Mafalda and Multivertentes, it's a Portuguese company, that you have that opportunity. But how did you find out about this opportunity with Mafalda? Was it at the university that they had a list of possible companies
Yeah,
or?
exactly. They had a list of previous students that had took intern take took an internships on those companies, and there were companies with good and bad feedback. Of course, I chose the ones with good feedback. And I applied to a bunch of them. Some didn't even respond. That's one of my fears, that we sent CVs every day and we don't have any response, and then we go spiraling, of course, scared of the future. But also Mafalda didn't respond to me in the beginning, so it was one of my last responses and it was the one that I got,
Ah,
so
but it was worth
it
the wait.
I guess that's it. Now I'm waiting to have my first job. I'm trying, I'm looking, but it's also really difficult because we really don't know where to start. And I know that doing my internship with Multivertentes gave me a bunch of opportunities. I'm in women localization now because Mafalda kind of pushed me there, and I'm kind of integrating the industry a bit more because of her.
For sure. We'll talk a little bit more about Mafalda. Well, not Mafalda herself, but the experience you have. So, Sophia, what happened there? Already in love with
Yeah.
languages, learning multiple languages, five languages, and now what's happening when you had to face the music, right? So when you had to look for your first job, your first opportunity, was it like Julia, just things just happened in a very magical way, let's call it. But I know it can happen that way too, of course. And it will happen again and again in all sorts of different ways. But how was it, Sophia?
Yeah, it was kind of a mix between Irene and Julia, I would say. Well, after this a year and a half in the cosmetic company, I decided to be just a translator. I started to attend webinars on how to propose on for translation agencies, how to set rates. Because I the industry was completely unknown. I didn't know where to start, how to start, and like nothing. And this also helped me to understand better how other people do, and yeah, what's the average rate? What should you do at the beginning? That is also very important. Also, how to attend international fairs, for examples, and how you can like take advantage from that. And then it takes like I started to watch on pros.com the different translation agencies, and I just sent CVs and everything. And I did it for the first 4 months, 4 or 5 months. And then I received my first job, and was through pros.com, translation agency that I first reached, then contact me back, like replied,
Wow.
and yeah, and then I started my collaboration with them, and so I also started to have a yeah, good income in the first month after like 4 months of just searching for jobs. But then I realized that LinkedIn was much more better for this, like for searching jobs or searching clients. So I started to understand that LinkedIn was a very useful tool that can be very yeah, that where you can also find direct clients, for example, because yeah, translation agencies are a good point first at the beginning, but yeah, soon you realize that you need different clients, let's say.
Yeah, there's a lot of variation there, let's say. That's you can have the best experience in the world with an agency and stick with it for years and years. I have that experience. Or sometimes things don't really work out the way that you would like them to, and you have to make changes and you have to shift your attention and you have to go elsewhere. And yeah, I guess it's more and more common that freelancers have access to direct clients. I guess the new trend, it's also a trend in the last, let's say, 5, 6 years, is also that companies create their own internal little language departments. They will have three or four project managers there who have previously been in the industry, and they are great because they will act as an agency from certain points of view, as in types of files that they send you, the way that they have the knowledge of the CAT tools and all the things that you need. But at the same time, the flexibility of working with the direct client, and it's very specialized in a subject. And the PMs are also dedicated only to one client. So that is a whole other world. So it's a different experience. All of them can be good, all of them can be bad. So it just depends on what happens to you. So Julia, how has it been? So how long, about a year and a little bit more, right? Ever since you started, since you gave me dates, right? I like
Yeah.
that.
Year and a month now. I don't want to sound weird, but actually it has been a little easier than I thought, because I thought it would be extremely difficult to find jobs, and I'm not saying it was easy. My plan was in the beginning to start up with agencies. And I applied to, I don't know how many hundred agencies. I'm now actively working with two. I could have worked with more, but I had a price range set that was based on my expenses, and I wouldn't go below my absolute minimum. So that's why I had to say no to a lot of those agencies. But many also never replied. So that's what you said. It kind of drove me to orientate myself more towards direct clients or collaborations with colleagues. And that it has been going really, really, really well. Like I said, I'm earning as much as I earned before. I didn't earn a lot before. Like I said, I was in the media industry. It's not a very well-paid industry, but I mean, that was like the target for the first year to get back to that level. And I'm actually earning a bit more. So it's
And
not
also
like
you're
I'm.
not under pressure in the sense of,
Yes,
schedules and things like that. That's
exactly.
probably the biggest
Exactly.
difference you would find if you have been working before
Yeah, exactly. And
in companies, right?
I absolutely love being self-employed and doing my own thing. I love being at home. I love other people, but I don't need them around every day, to be honest. I love doing things like this, like chatting virtually or going to events, but I don't need to go to an office each and every day. I just really love this lifestyle and has been going very well.
Would you say
The
you have
question
like
was.
I know it's really early to talk about that, but is there an area that you feel that it's like getting into one of your possible specializations, or do you have like a super wide variety of things that you do? Do you have something that is a bit more recurrent than everything else? What do you
Yeah,
think?
so
Do you have one?
I almost exclusively work on marketing stuff.
Okay.
I
See, your
recently,
background is there.
yeah, right. And I re I didn't think I would. I thought it would be easier for me to get into subtitling because I'm from the audiovisual world, TV production. I studied media management with a focus on TV production. I know how to edit, how to shoot, how to do the sound and stuff. So I thought that would be very easy, but it was not easy at all. I'm still looking for good regular subtitling clients because I love subtitling, but that has been very difficult. And so I started out with the marketing stuff because I realized it's kind of, or it felt easier for me to get into marketing roles. And I discovered that I really love it. I love working on marketing copy. It's so creative. I recently also started doing transcreations. I know it's always a bit difficult to define what transcreation is or where translation stops and transcreation starts, but
We're not going to talk about that.
no, we're not going to talk about that, but I recently started working with a transcreation agency based in London, and they had these really great creative projects where you work for hours and you work on a tagline or on big billboards and things like that. And I think that's really where I see myself, because it's just the perfect match of things I can do, I'm good at, and that pay well, to be honest, because yeah, I need to make a living with it. It's not a hobby. It's a job. So,
Right.
yeah.
So within the marketing, do you also see a trend for yourself? Like, is it more sports gear? Is it more beverages? Is it more, is there something specific that you usually go for, or it's just random and you never know what's going to come into your door?
Yeah, it's pretty random, to be honest. So I have some direct clients I work for regularly. Like I said, one's a fitness app, so I feel pretty firm in fitness and nutrition by now because I've worked for them for 1.5 years now, almost. But I also have another direct client who they produce stage fabrics, which is very different. So there's a lot of this fabric and theater stuff. It's also very, very interesting. I
I
also work
love
for an
it.
online language school. I've worked for consumer brands. Different stuff. And I mean, I wouldn't take on anything that's very highly specialized, where it's just not, where I just can't, it will take me hours to find the right terms that I
Right.
actually used. So I wouldn't do that. But as I'd say, everything that's kind of general. I'm pretty open to that. Yeah, I would love to go more into the fitness wellness area because I'm a big yoga fan. Yeah, I do yoga every day for, yeah, it's been
Wow.
10 years now. So that's obviously something I would love to work on, but yeah, I'm pretty open to everything. Everything that spreads good vibes.
Great, I love that.
Yeah.
So Irene is already unmuting herself because I say I go in the same order, right? It's just to make sure that everybody gets to speak. And I'm not like, oh, I should ask about this or that, or, you know, not to be too random, since, as you know, this is not prepared, right? So since I don't have questions, it's much easier for me to just go in a certain order. But thank you, Irene, for preparing for me in advance. So what's the story with bringing your hobbies into your actual work? Because this is really something amazing that I think I always say we need to bring everything that we are and everything that we know into everything that we do, right? Because this is the magic of working with something like languages, where you're asked every single day to come up with ideas, to come up with knowledge, to research, to go look for references. So using what you already have that has matured within you, right, for your own personal reasons, and then just channeling all of this into your work is obviously one of the best situations that you can have. So obviously these days, some of you who are super young are practicing sports that are, you know, more trendy or more interesting or more new school, say. And I guess there's a lot of need in the market, obviously, for these clients to be served with good copy, with good content. So that's where you come in, right? Is it for Spanish and Catalan, or do you focus more on one?
Only in Spanish. Well, actually, when I while studying, I got a specialization in sword translation, English to Catalan, and I thought, okay, I like the legal stuff, and I thought, okay, when you go out university, you have that specialization, that title that you can only get while studying. So good for you. It's going to be amazing. You're going to have lots of works. No, wrong. So, well, while I kept searching and everything, I found that agency that dedicated to that, and I thought, okay, maybe there I can do something. I am passionate about that kind of action sports, that kind of mountain sports that happen in nature. So this is what I do every weekend, so why not?
And it's mandatory for the agency that you actually practice it, right?
Yeah,
I've
it
had it on the podcast, so I can talk about it.
Well, actually, if you do not practice, it's impossible that you can get it right. Sometimes, even myself, it's been almost a year doing regular work, and even now, sometimes I do not know what is
Course, you have
this.
to
What's
research. You always have to research. So there's
exactly.
nothing else we can do, but it's true that you need to evolve.
Exactly.
Need to go further, so it's normal. But like I say, every job, everything that you do will prepare you for the next thing that
Exactly.
will show up in your life. It's just a matter of energy, I think.
Exactly. And now that you mentioned the languages, me being Catalan and also, well, speaking natively both languages, when they first contacted me, I was so focused that my target language was going to be Catalan that I didn't ask them in which language they wanted the test to be delivered. So I delivered the test in Catalan.
Wow.
And then they told me, no, but we wanted the test in Spanish. And I was like, okay, let me
You can do
redo
that too.
it. Yeah, and I delivered both tests, but I only translate into Spanish. Yeah, so
So you would
I
say this
also.
is your specialization at the moment, right? It's the one that you do more frequently.
More frequently, like every day. And also, I didn't thought I would do any marketing. And this is what I do all the time. So because it's all marketing related. So I also, while working, discovered that there was a wide range of things to do into marketing. So I really love that too. So big change in the beginning. And it actually took a while from starting to getting more regular jobs.
Course.
And in the beginning, it was difficult for me. I found it difficult to. I thought I was doing it very bad. Like, well, a bit of an imposter syndrome at the
Course.
beginning. Like,
Yeah.
I'm not good at
It will
this.
come and go. It will come and go.
So, and I also want to point out that I still have another job. So
Mm-hmm.
I'm not only freelance translator. Well, it's another job because I work in my boyfriend's optician. So I have he has an optician, so I work in here. So I combine both jobs at the same time if he
So this
needs
is
me
where
and
you were
stuff.
now.
Yeah.
That's why I see this. Now I'm noticing this strange contraption right behind you.
Because this was before this was the place where they did the
Yes.
eyes exam. Now they do it
Wow.
elsewhere, and this is my office.
Okay, so next step is to start translating about baking and cooking, right? And
And then
finally,
optics.
but yes, well, can you believe that recently I had a conversation with a potential client exactly about that?
Oh, wow. I tried, but this is actually what I put in my CV that I can translate from mountain sports, cooking and
Wow.
baking, because I have a educational background into
Of course.
that. And also optical, because I've worked in the optic sector and I have
And you wear
I
glasses and everything. You always You
Well,
are a walking example of your work, right?
secret is they are not prescription glasses, they are only for the computer.
That part
Which
is not relevant.
is very important,
But you are
actually.
surrounded by prescription lens
And
everywhere, right? If you
clients,
need anything, you can find them near you. I love it. I love it. Yeah, it's definitely something that I always say. And I also live by that motto, right? Like, just everything that you do will be relevant at some point. Don't think that you have any job that will be irrelevant for the rest of your life. Everything comes back to you. So it's very, very funny. So, Marta, when you were doing your internship with our Mafalda, so I say our Mafalda from Women in Localization, of course, and Mafalda's company specializes in life sciences, right? So, was this also what you were doing there? How did you feel about it? Did you enjoy it? Do you see yourself going into that route?
Mostly it was medical translation. I wasn't looking for something like that. I'm going to be honest. I really wasn't looking
Hmm.
for something like that because we go from the principle that it is harder, and it is. It really is. But I ended up doing medical translation, marketing,
So medical marketing or general marketing? Medical marketing.
both. Technology, what else? Education as well, books, school books for kids. I don't know. It was versatile, I guess. And I guess that's good for I was learning, and I still am. And I guess that's a good background to have. Like, what can I see myself fit more?
So,
But
are
I
you
don't.
actively looking for work already, or are you passively looking for, as in,
I'm
do you have
actively.
hopes of actually getting
Yes,
jobs as soon
Holly.
as possible?
I am actively looking for work. Work doesn't come to me. That's okay. Someday it will.
Yes, that's a fact. Or
And
someone will bring it to you.
yeah, I am more into that. Probably it's gonna be like that. But I was going to say something, but I just forgot. I get so
Sorry,
no,
because I keep
it's
interrupting you.
okay. It's okay. No, but in the end, it was a good internship because I had a bit of everything, and I know I probably don't see myself right now doing medical translation, but it's not a no. We never know. And some of the people I know work with that, so probably it may happen. But I guess I was looking more into marketing. I guess it's more fun.
But the
I'm being more.
strangest things can happen. Trust me, you never know what's going to happen. So just don't worry about it. Something will come up, and maybe it's not even something that you could remotely consider.
Yeah, and
But everything is great.
in the beginning I have to put up with it and see what
I like the choice of words in the beginning. I have to put up with it.
yeah, I'll have to because let's say we don't have many opportunities in the beginning, so I think we should try everything that comes up to us so we can see what we like, what we don't, and yeah.
Yeah, strange things can happen. So, Sophia, what happened there? What's the story?
Yeah, after the cosmetic company.
Was it Kiko?
No, it was an
Sorry, I have the
Italian one.
fantasy of. It was one of
Yeah,
my clients. So when I was working for an agency, and it was just every time that someone mentioned cosmetics, it's the first question I ask.
no.
But is it
No,
something
it
we
was.
can recognize, or is it a local brand,
No, it's
or?
very small. It was a startup, so it's still small. I would say.
Did they become your client when you became a freelancer, or that was not in the cards?
No, because they already have a German speaker as an in-house translator and a customer service specialist. So one was enough, by the way. But as I was translating for the website, for the e-commerce site, and for newsletter as well, so transcription and marketing, I started translating in that field, so for marketing, and that's why I also started translating in different field, and one of the biggest now is telecommunication. So I'm still translating for marketing and e-commerce and website, but then I also started translating something more technical. They asked me if I could, and as my other colleagues said, you try it and then you like it and then you keep going. Of course, at the beginning was harder because I didn't know so many terms and concept also of cybersecurity, for example. But then I got interested into it because I also realized that was something that was useful for my personal life too. And so I started getting deeper in that field and starting to translate something more technical. I still prefer translating for marketing because I prefer transcreation part and that I can like change more texts and give my kind of a personal touch to translation. But I'm also interested in more technical translation and in this cybersecurity field or IT field. Yeah.
Yes, IT is my thing.
Yeah, but it's something that you can see it also in your personal life. It helps a lot. Now I'm a kind of a master in cybersecurity stuff and password and find new way of protecting my data.
Oh,
So
so
I,
you're working on the content and you're learning from it, right? And
yeah.
it will happen forever. That's the advantage.
Yeah, true. That's the part I like most of being a translator. You always learn something new and something that you can use in your everyday life, and that is one of the best thing of my job, of
Yes,
our
I know.
job.
That is true. I've learned so many things that I'm still using the references. That content to give examples of all sorts of things, right? Because it's like I had the access to doing a job for a company that taught me that the biggest producer of oranges in the world is Brazil. I didn't even know that. So it's like strange facts that all of a sudden become part of your life because it's of your general culture, because you just read these things and you have to focus on that content like you're not reading it. Per se, right? You're actually processing all of that and transforming it into your mind. And therefore, this is kind of the information that is then becoming part of what you know, right? So it's very interesting that we have to go through this process all the time. I love it. So, you know, not to disappoint anyone, let's talk about rates from whatever perspective we want, right? Meaning, there's a huge discussion out there that right now rates are impossible, that all the offers that people get are insane and all of that. So how do you guys feel about that particular subject? So Julia, having more direct clients than agencies, do you feel that there's a difference? But do you receive these crazy emails? What is it for you?
Yeah, I obviously do. I just before this, I just replied to an agency. I replied to an agency I applied to before, who came back to me saying, "We noticed your rates are considered high." Well, no shit. Yeah, so yeah, it's obviously a topic for me. I have this range I set for myself, and like I said before, it's based on my expenses, so I know what I need to make. Minimum, and that's like a hard minimum. I don't go below that because yeah, I don't want to work below that because I want to spend my time finding clients that pay accordingly instead of working for a price that won't pay my bills in the end of the month, because I have a husband, so we both contribute, but we need my income too because we have a house and that's expensive. So yeah, it's definitely a topic. I'm not that nervous about it. Obviously, actually, I'm pretty confident that I can deliver value, and I don't think we should be pushed too much down, because for me, I also track my time, and I get nervous easily when I see, okay, I've been working on this for an hour, but I only get paid, I don't know, 50 euros. That's actually already on the low end for me. So I'm getting nervous and I'm getting rushed. So I want to be able to take time to really deliver good work. So that's kind of what I also tell my clients. So I tell them this is based on my expenses, and I want to deliver good work and do it with like time on my hands. And I'm also trying to develop skills that are maybe a bit better paid. Like I'm developing my SEO skills. I'm also offering SEO localization or keyword research and content optimization. I'm working on my copywriting skills. And just I've been saying no so much in my first year, and I feel like with every no I gave out, I became more confident. And yeah, it's I don't see it as a problem. It's a bit of a nuisance, I think, in the industry. And I actually have direct clients who pay worse than some of my agency clients. So I wouldn't say direct clients automatically
That's a
pay better,
fact. That's a
especially
fact.
if they have like a localization department, because the people that work there often come from
Worked for
agencies
LSPs, of course.
and they know how things work. So yeah, I
That's
would.
right. I guess it's like an urban legend that people need to get direct clients in order to get better rates. That's definitely not the truth, right? That's definitely not true. Can happen, but it cannot happen, right? It's just can be anyway. So, Irene, was it like you expected after hearing about this whole low rate story and all that AI interference? So, was it what you expected in terms of rates and conditions and time frames and all of that in the industry?
Like Julia, I also said the rates. My rates, and I've never accepted any job that's below that because then I think you don't deliver the same job if you know you're not going to pay for the time that you spend working on that. So it's like, for example, okay, so I'm not only going to get paid. If I am only going to get paid that, why should I spend that many hours working on something like this? So I've tried not to accept jobs that are low paid. But my experience, what I felt, for example, when I do sworn translation projects, that the majority of them come from direct clients, this is where it gets difficult for me to rate a project based on a photograph sometimes or a PDF that you cannot count the words somehow. This is where I find
You have to
more
have a price
difficulties.
per page, right?
Exactly, price per page, price per different document sometimes. And I found myself translating, I don't know, for very little
Birth
amount per.
certificates,
Yeah, but yeah,
CVs.
exactly. And sometimes I've just finished the job and like, okay, you've gained that per hour with what you rate. Good. Next time it's going to be a little bit more. So I think it's a learning step by step, no? Like it's something you keep learning by time. And also I've used colleagues a little bit
You've
for
used
that.
them for information.
Well,
I like it.
I've got helped.
As everybody has help
Rather.
from everybody else. That's exactly how it should be,
Yeah.
right? Because if they have been doing it, they should know a little bit about, even if everybody has a different approach and opinion, right? Some people are super flexible. I was a vendor manager for 8 years, so I know what it is to talk about rates every single day and every hour of the day. And I actually loved it, to be honest. It's my favorite subject, and I still love talking about it. So, Marta, expectations in terms of payments and rates and things like that, direct clients, what do you think it's going to happen? From what you've seen, is it like looking good for the Portuguese crew? Because I know this is maybe controversial. I say it everywhere and people are a bit like, but your language pair has massive influence. I know people will disagree with me, but it's impossible because languages do have, no matter what you say, a market value. This is a fact, right? Based on the economic level of the country, how demanding the actual language community is, and what kind of interference the government has in dictating language-related laws. So this in itself, not even going to talk about other things that I could, but these facts in themselves have a huge impact on how much people will value your specific language, right? So what are you expecting, Marta? It's
I
like, well, how do I know?
yeah, exactly. I have a bit of imposter syndrome, but I guess every student has. It's really difficult to set a rate, especially here because we don't have certificated translators, so it's something that we have constantly to explain. We don't have a way to prove that we can do something without having clients, without having experience. So it's difficult to set a certain rate. And I'm going to be honest, but job offers are quite weird when it comes to rate these days, and I would say offensive. I believe it's a moral battle because, I mean, we need the money, so we should accept this because it's the only opportunity we have right now. But at the same time, we know it's very low. No one would work for this. I don't want to work for this. And as Irene was saying, we would know that we wouldn't be doing a good job because we wouldn't be we were not paid enough for that. So I guess it's really hard times right now, especially for those who are getting out of college. We don't know enough, and the market is changing, as you said, because of AI and all that. So
Worry,
it's
Marta. Yeah, one of these days you'll feel a bit more confident about everything. That's just the way it is.
I will.
So, yeah, I'm sure you
I
will.
will.
Sophia, how do you feel about this rate situation? Do you feel like you get offensive offers, or is it what you expected, or some are better than others are worse, and you have to manage and balance and see what's best for you at the specific moment? Do you have like set rates specifically because of your expenses? What's your methodology, if you have one? Because I don't.
No, I also have a range, so a minimum and maximum. Of course, at the beginning, I.
Maximum, no.
Yeah, well, I mean, and
That you ask for,
no.
of course. I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
Yeah, a minimum, let's say. Just at the beginning, I was applying for not the minimum, but closer to the minimum, so I can still like find a balance between what I offer and what they offer. So of course at the beginning I had to go lower, but still not lower than I expected because of course I pay taxes and I have to live also. So I can go under that rate. So even if I receive lower rate, I would never accept them because of course I can pay taxes and all the other stuff that I need to pay in my life. I'm not like so scared. I know that AI is changing a lot, this rate, and yeah, also that companies are starting to asking for less because oh, we have AI, we can do it with our tool and everything. But if you explain them the difference between just using AI and also ask the expertise of a translator, you know that you are paying for a good quality. So when you explain something, usually they understand. If they don't, it means that they are not good clients. So it's good to lose them,
So you
kind
fire
of.
them.
Yeah. So yeah, that is my strategy. So that is my
Okay.
minimum. Of course, I can I translate with other tools and AI. So my rates must be lower, of course. But that also means that I can work more, like accept more jobs. So I kind of balance these two things. So more taxes or more words, let's say. But then the price must be kind of the same. I don't know if you if I was clear enough.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, the kind of hourly rate must be the same always. Otherwise I can like pay everything. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I promised it would be about 45 minutes, but it's already past an hour. So now I decided that people who do interviews have like a final question that they always ask, right? So I decided some time ago that I was going to have this question for most people if they were doing language work themselves. So, and that is in an abstract way, because it's not necessarily, a client that comes to you, but the final client. So it could come to you through any means, right? Indirectly. What would be, Julia, your perfect ideal client? Do you have like a dream brand, a
Yes,
dream subject? So what's that?
I do. My absolute dream client would be a Deliciously Ella. I don't know if you know them. They
No.
are a UK-based brand. They make healthy vegan snacks, and they also have an app where they do yoga and mindfulness practice. They have a website. Yeah, all this stuff. That would be my absolute dream client because I used to be vegan. I was vegan for 6 years, and then it got too complicated for me when I got pregnant. But that's still a topic that's very interesting to me. I said before, I'm interested in yoga. I'm interested in nutrition. And I think the whole brand is very like positive, upbeat, good vibes, love. So that would be my absolute dream client.
Yeah, you have to send me that name so that we can tag them if they have a LinkedIn profile.
They
I
do.
don't know. If
They
they do, we're gonna tag them.
do. They have one.
If you say so. So you've been following them, huh?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. Well, great. So everybody, if you're listening, you know who wants to do your German content, right? So Irene, who is this fantasy? The other day I had Natasha telling me it was Ferrari. So let's see. Something like that, like one of those big names that you'd be like, oh my God, if I could translate for them, it would be the end of the world.
Oh, maybe it's a bit strange, but I think I am actually already translating for some
Wow.
brand that I really go, I really is very big. I cannot say the name,
Yes, of course
but
not.
so
So say another one that would be
if Irena's,
equally.
like when I received that you can be in the team to translate for this brand, I was like, what? Really? So I think I'm, but Otherwise, what I would like to get into a bit could be literary translation. So I this would be
It's
where
like a
I would.
Cervantes kind of project.
I would love to translate a book.
Jesus Christ. So a book like literature or more of a self-help or fiction or
No,
what is a book?
fiction. Yeah, fiction.
Fiction.
Yeah, general fiction. Yes, no, nothing particular.
Daniel
Anything.
Steele and things like that, right? The 50 Shades of Grey, I don't know, whatever.
Oh no, not this. Definitely not
It's
this.
funny. I always use it as an example because I saw the translation for Portuguese and for Spanish. I was living in Barcelona when it came out, I guess, or somewhere else. I don't know where I was. I guess I was in Barcelona, and everybody was reading it that I knew it there and here. So I was looking at the translation, and I always give the example because some of the lines that were pretty frequent were ooh ah ooh ah ah ooh ooh ah. So it was great. I guess it's one of the best books I've ever seen to be translated. So you never know if you're lucky like that. So yes, so a fiction book should come Irene's way, right, in the near future. Let's see what that is. Let's see. And Marta, it's like a fantasy you've already had. Like, oh, I wish I could translate for these people. Like, who are they?
I don't think I have anyone specific, but I guess it would be someone that would say, do it as you like.
Oh.
Transcreation, marketing with transcreation, do it, do your best, you know, be creative. So I
Like, do you
could.
have your hobbies or something that you like doing that where you use like always the same brand for this or for that? I don't know, for sports or for.
Not specifically, but something, maybe something related to c cosmetics. It could be cosmetic,
Oh.
maybe. I don't know. Where we could have like a communication with the public more personal, not so formal. I mean, I guess it'd be my ideal client.
Okay, there's
Projects like
cosmetics, but
that.
it's
Not
there's such
really a client,
a wide variety of things.
a
Eco exists, for example. Say Pico, just
project.
kidding. Just kidding. So our Sophia, dream client.
Yeah, I would say my dream client is Lonely Planet or yeah, Holidays Pirates. Yeah. I love traveling is something that I really love to do, like alone.
Okay, nobody's coming though.
Yeah, because I have my standards and that are very low sometimes.
Oh, I
And
see.
so not many people will understand. Yeah, so I would love for translating for in the travel industry. So I think that Lonely Planet would be my dream.
Okay, I
But
love
who
that.
knows?
Yes, who knows? Trust me. Well, I have done work for unexpected people. Like, well, Apple, I don't have to say it again, but definitely National Geographic, for example.
Oh, yeah.
So that was good. And it was all sorts of things. So I have also done lots of things for people or for companies or for big companies or big brands that are very interesting. That's what it is. Sometimes it's the super small companies that will give you the type of content or the attitude or the style or the freedom, like you say. So it's like good work actually can come from everywhere, and bad work can also come from everywhere. I know that people, I guess, outside of the industry would think like a huge brand, like let's say the Pradas or the Dolce and Gabbanas of life, would actually pay a lot for their translation. But the fact is that they will give it to an agency, the agency will give it to a translation agency, the translation agency will give it to another agency. And when it gets to the actual people who do the work, we never know how many cents this is going to be translated into, right? So one thing doesn't mean the other. But sometimes I would say that there's something that connects us to the type of work or to the brand or to the philosophy that will actually also make us accept different conditions that we would accept from any other circumstance, because we feel like this is work that we would like to do because we will learn so much or because we love their philosophy, whatever it is. So it's actually a really hard thing to imagine. And because if you continue working on this, you will see that things that you don't even know exist, companies, subjects, types of products, types of content, they will come your way in very unexpected ways, right? But there will be a relation for anything about your life. And this is why this came about. So buckle up, Sophia. Traveling translation is coming your way, I'm sure. And these British people, Julia, will have to be in touch with them because they're missing out on their German content, right? Because they already have German content, probably. No, they
Yeah,
do
not a
everything in
lot.
English. Not a
Not a
lot.
lot,
They
but
don't do enough.
and they're actually expanding. So,
Oh.
yeah.
Yeah, we have to make this happen. Alrighty. Irene is pretty happy, so we'll just allow her to do her. And it's the optometry that we're looking forward to. Maybe we can work together. I'll work on the terminology. You'll do translation. Yes, let's do a joint venture. Yes, it's also one of my fantasies. Can you imagine? How silly is that? I have strange work fantasies. And sometimes they do happen in other things that are insane. I'll tell you. We're not recording anymore. Alrighty, thank you so much. I think this was very enlightening. This was the idea to get to know you, to get to know your background, how things have been happening for you, how you actually did it in order to get to where you are today, right? Because tomorrow is another story. But this was an absolute pleasure, and I really want to do it quite often to get to know people who are getting started, how they feel, how they did it, why they did it, how they feel right now, their fears, their desires, their desire clients, right? That's very important. And this is amazing. And thank you so much for being here, ladies. And I'll see you very soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank
Thank
you
you.
very much, Rita.